today on Compassion Radio.
Why we do what we do is it's a recognition of the immense value that God places on people. And when you really get that, then that's the starting point, and that's when you start to treat them with that high value.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Abandonment of infants in South Africa is, unfortunately, a common occurrence. Many of these children are left to die or simply abandoned in dust bins, open fields, or public toilets. Well, in 1999, the Berea Baptist Mission Church said, "Something needs to be done." Under the leadership of Pastor Cheryl Allen, the church made a hole in their wall and a baby box was installed, allowing for mothers to leave their babies anytime, day or night, for the church to take care of them. Now, the moment a baby is placed, care workers on duty receive an electronic signal alerting them. The baby is taken in and the anonymity of the donor ensured. This ministry is called Door of Hope. I'm Frank Montenegro. Today, Bram brings us part three of a conversation with Richard Allen of Door of Hope Ministries. Here's Bram to get things started.
I want to call today's program 1,000 Days because I want to flow off a conversation I had earlier about the importance of those first 1,000 days of any baby's life. So talk to me about why it's so important and special that God is bringing to you babies within that window, and why it makes a huge difference on their prospects for the future, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Yeah, and I think I probably have to start off by saying that I'm certainly no expert in, early childhood development.
You are by seeing it up close.
Yeah, we definitely are very intentional in that space. Part of my team, I'm very fortunate enough to have people who are experts in that space. So a lot of what I would be speaking to now as I share would be coming out of conversations that I've had and intentional programs that we've been instituting within our organization. And so definitely the first 1,000 days of a child's life are critical. And more research and knowledge is being made available in that space and speaking to the reality of that. And so that's why I think even globally, but especially in South Africa, there's a lot of attention being given to early childhood development for people, because they recognize from at the very least a cognitive development perspective, it is crucial to really make the most out of those first 1,000 days of a person's life, that you can develop them cognitively. And what they're saying is if you don't have good stimulation programs in place and you don't make the most of that window period, as it were, the first 1,000 days, you can never reclaim that opportunity again.
You can't relive your first 3 years.
That's it. And so once you've missed that, it's missed. And obviously, you can still develop and grow, obviously, as a human being, but there's certain things that you will always have lost out on if you don't make the most of that. And so we wanted to be, and we are very intentional in that space, by saying, how can we reach these children that are being abandoned and lost at the earliest age possible? And then how can we really pour into their lives? And that's through, I mean, the primary thing is love, you know, and that's really what we've seen as being the most transformative for our children that have come to us.
And this is not an abstract concept we're talking about. When you say love, when it comes to children, it has to do with an awful lot of affection, intentional touching and eye contact and building of identity, things that parents who love their kids instinctively know how to do when they start raising a child, that these abandoned children, if they don't receive it immediately, will lose their capacity to engage another human being in meaningful relationship. And I think about other kinds of developmental disabilities or physical disabilities. If we knew we had the opportunity to prevent a physical disability from happening, if we acted with a child in a certain way now, and they wouldn't have to be paralyzed, they wouldn't have to be blind, would we be willing to spend the time necessary in that first year of their life to do the thing necessary so that their sight could be saved for their entire life, so that their legs could walk for their entire life? Of course we would, if we knew it would work.
Yeah.
And what we're learning now is when it comes to cognitive and emotional development, we literally do that. We don't have to see handicapped children emotionally or psychologically the rest of their lives if we invest them in the first days of their life. And God is literally dumping the babies in a box in front of you and saying, a gift, Berea Baptist Church, Door of Hope Ministries, here it is. It's a wide open possibility. It's yours. I trust you with this.
Yeah, and I think we have to recognize that children come to us, and just children in general, have different starting points.
Yes.
And so a lot of the children that do come to us have not had a great starting point.
Right.
But that's why we are also very intentional in that space, because yeah, even though they may come from a starting point that is, you know, far behind, perhaps, yeah, how can we do the best we can to get them further ahead?
Yes.
And to give them maybe that running head start.
And you talk about different kinds of trauma they've been through as well. Some are physical traumas. You talk about Nathan, the baby, that one of the first ones you ever had, that had been abandoned on a street corner.
Yeah.
So he was in the presence of loud trucks and lorries running by, and just the sonic shock of being around things he couldn't see or understand, being left to die on the street corner, sunburned as a little black baby.
Yeah.
That's profound, but you found him in time.
Yeah.
And something transformed him because he was rescued in the window of opportunity.
Yeah.
And you're saying that first 1,000 days is that window. So let's talk about what you've been able to do with the time you've been given by God to do this.
So I think maybe one story which is illustrative and kind of which came to mind when you were speaking a little bit earlier is that there was one child that came to us, and this child was really struggling to walk. Developmentally, he was behind in his milestones, and one of the things that we do is we have regular checkups for our children. So we have a pediatrician that comes to our home, and that on a weekly basis is following up with our children and tracking their milestones, seeing, you know, where they're at, and maybe once we've got that information, we can then customize possibly a health plan for that child.
Good.
So that's what happened with this particular child. I think it was a boy, if I remember correctly, who came to us. And he was struggling to really get to a place of just developing his legs and being in a space where he would be able to walk. And so as we journeyed with this, the feedback that we got and what the pediatrician said is, if we don't be intentional in this space, he could never walk in his life.
Mm.
And so we said, okay, well, we need to identify this obviously early,
yes,
which is part of the practical process, and then say, okay, what do we need to do to account for this? And so what we did in that scenario was we gave him individualized attention. Mm-hmm. There's certain exercises that you can do. There's ways of developing neural pathways within mm-hmm. the brain. I mean, the brain is an amazing thing that God has designed. And so we started working with that, and he would often come to one of the staff in our offices. And she would give him that individualized attention. She would do exercises with him. And more than just working on the legs, but just giving him that love and that nurture and that encouragement. And he started to get stronger and to develop. And it was such a blessing and wonderful moment for particularly that staff member, but for all of us as a team, when he started to walk on his own.
Mm.
And then when he was adopted into his forever family, he walked towards them as they waited for him.
Mm.
And those are really the moments that you live for, and that encourage you and keep you going and keep you being intentional in that space. Because that boy, if we weren't intentional with him, he may have never walked in his life.
Richard, this reminds me again of one of the subjects I'm passionate about, which is holy imagination. Mm. That if we can envision something that goes beyond what we think or believes to be possible, if we can acknowledge a vision that God has given us and we can treat it as if it's real, we see God work it out so that it becomes reality for us. We don't longer have to tell God what's possible.
Yeah.
And if we can envision for a child like you're describing now, the possibility that God will restore his legs so he can walk, we can see it happen. I'm sure a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
And a lot of therapy goes into that. And then, of course, the future becomes a reality, the one that we've envisioned because God gave us the ability to see it. That's faith realized.
Yeah. And that's, I have to mention that as well, is It's very much a holistic way of caring and looking after the children. So when you talk about spiritual, mental, emotional, you know, all of that, the overarching thing for us is how are we able to be instruments that God can use, instruments mm-hmm. in God's hands yeah. for these children? How can we stand in the gap and be people that are connecting God to these children, as it were? Yeah. And so a lot of our programs and just the way we run our organization is very much about what can we do physically? What can we do emotionally? So, you know, loving on the kids. Spiritually, we pray over our children. We have their names and a picture of them and a verse mm. that we put over every single crib yeah. that we have of our children. And we ask and encourage our staff, you know, every day to be kind of over those cribs, mm. praying into the lives of those children and over those children, praying for God's protection and blessing and His restoration and healing in their lives, and praying over their futures, that one day these children would come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. And that's really one of our main hopes and prayers, is that these children would grow up to know Jesus Christ and to serve Him as their King as well.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime when it's convenient for you, just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet, and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry, and go ahead and take a look at all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement, but consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for this special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478 or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
So beyond the 1,000 days, they've received love, they've been prayed over, they've made eye contact with someone who loves them, they understand what love means in their very body. They've survived. Now comes the future. And hopefully you'll get them in a forever home somewhere in South Africa primarily. I know that America, for the most part, is off limits now to the adoptions because of certain political issues, not related to our administration, but more about treaty law that are kind of in the way of our cooperation in that regard. Although I would love to see those babies adopted here in the States.
And that's what we're praying for. So even to any of the listeners out there, if you can be praying into that space, we would love to see God really opening those doors, the floodgates, as it were.
Yeah. But in the space we're living in right now, without that opportunity, you have to figure out what to do next if they're not adoptable where they are or in countries like America that they send them to. So you're doing something new. God says, if their future fields of opportunity are not going to be somewhere else, it will have to be with us. And if we can't find them homes out there, we'll have to build a home here. And that's what your project and your passion is now with Door of Hope. So tell me a little more at length now about what the Hope Village will become.
So, yeah, Door of Hope Village is very much about us saying, if we can't find our children forever families, in adoptive families, either locally or internationally, then we believe the solution God is calling us to is to say, well, we're going to create what we call the Door of Hope family.
Okay.
And that's very much how we see it and we'll see it going forward. And so that's very much centered around building a community of faith that is centered on looking after orphan children.
Okay.
Looking after children that don't have anybody else.
Now, think about that concept, listeners. Even though we care about orphans and widows and refugees, what Richard just said catches me. You're saying building your faith, your whole ministry, around the key function of caring for widows and orphans, in your case, specifically, orphans.
Yeah.
So how do you build an entire ministry or a family, a whole church, a whole future evangelistic outreach around that unit?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the answer to your question, but I think it's really centered in the community of faith, the Church of God, being the solution in that space, and saying, what is it going to take to be that solution? And then how do we get practical about that? And what do we create in terms of that solution to meet that need? And so that's really what we're trying to work out. And there's a number of different models out there. You know, we don't claim to be the only one operating this space. God is raising up many wonderful people that are doing wonderful things all over the world and all over the continent of Africa. And I really just praise God for the way that he's doing that. And we need more people to be standing up and standing in the gap. So we've developed a kind of a model. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but we're learning from other people that have gone before us and also saying, how can we contextualize it for ourselves? How can we maybe even see, is there a way to improve certain things, to learn from maybe other people's mistakes? I don't think there's any perfect solution out there when you're looking at addressing these massive needs.
But there are effective solutions.
And I think especially when you bring it before the Lord and say, God, will you give us the wisdom that we so desperately need? Yeah. Would you direct our steps? And would you raise up the people that we need to accomplish this great thing? And so that's really been our prayer and our desire. And we've come before the Lord to do that. We believe he's given us the solution that we are pursuing.
And the solution you're pursuing is the seed of greatness, as far as I'm concerned, because you're talking about aspiring to believing great things for your kids and for the capacity of the church to really know and love them and grow them, and the capacity of your country to change and to be transformed by the power of the gospel. So what's a Hope family look like?
So for us, looking at the village, we're going to be working through the microcosm of the family unit, as it were, and then going beyond that into more of a community that is based on a multiplicity of those microcosm family units. So what do I mean by that? We are going to build houses at our village where we can have a house mother or house parents that can look after up to 6 orphan children in a house.
And that number is chosen somewhat by practicality, that the government defines the capacity of a foster family to care for no more than about six at a time?
Well, we're in the process now of just going through a lot of the legal paperwork and all of that and the registration that you need in South Africa. So there's a couple of options available to us. One of them is the cluster foster care model, okay, which works off that kind of six number age range per household. But there is a possibility of us looking at another registration where we won't necessarily be limited by that.
Okay.
But we just see it as probably a healthy number to aim for anyway. So whether we are required to or not, we see it as a manageable and healthy space.
And enough for personal interaction with and bonding between a house parent and a child.
That's it.
So the children are graduating out of the Door of Hope care facilities where they are safe and they're being saved for that first 1,000 days and maybe a few years beyond that. But there'll come a point where it's going to become obvious that they are going to be adopted now or that God has another plan to be adopted into these Hope families.
Yes.
So they will progress to a new location, I understand. The village itself is even farther out from the city center.
Yes.
And it truly is a village community. It has the capacity of growing more modules and more places and more common areas where they can learn trades together and have school and grow vegetables and all kinds of things that a village can do.
Yeah.
So tell me more about what you're designing and building right now.
So it really is like creating our own little neighborhood. Mm. I mean, the need is so great that we are trying to see how can we meet the most amount of need in the healthiest way possible?
With the least overhead necessary.
Yes. Yeah. And at the same time, thinking, obviously you want to do it in a reasonable way, but we are also striving for excellence.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not talking about least overhead in terms of being cheap about anything. I'm just saying not frittering away precious resources on infrastructure that's not necessary. You are going for the necessities.
And I think maybe another way of framing that is how can we be the best stewards of the resources God brings to us to accomplish the most for his kingdom?
Amen.
I think that's kind of what we would agree on. So that's really the space that we're doing. And so what we're looking at with this village, the Door of Hope village, is creating this community of faith and saying, we've got 62 acres of land that God has blessed us with. Beautiful space. It's about 16 miles outside of the city center. So even though it's still relatively close and accessible, you feel like you're completely out of the city, which is a beautiful space. And on that, we're saying we're planning to build to capacity. So we're looking at this stage, potentially if we get to capacity, having about 200 to 250 orphan children on site. And so when you start looking at those numbers, this is obviously going to be over a period of time. It's not going to be, you know, next year that we're going to have that. We're building this over the years that are ahead. Then there's certain things that you're going to need to have from a practical perspective to account for those numbers.
Mm-hmm. I'll pick it up in the next program about how you're actually having people build that village. And we'll have Dempsey join us for that program, too, to talk about what she saw when she was traveling with you last summer in South Africa. Richard, thanks again for being with us and expanding our vision for what's possible with orphan care.
Thank you. God bless you.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800 866-268-2478 or visit CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word GIVE to 53445. That's the word GIVE, G-I-V-E, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. We are so thankful for you. Please be sure to join us again next time for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.